Amen. Like the song says, you know, it's funny how sometimes you sing a song over and over again, and it won't really, something won't stick out to you until you need it to. And you don't really expect it, but that song, God Reached Way Below the Bottom, that line says, He didn't care if I was the world's most foolish man. And we're going to talk about some foolish people in the Bible, not who you probably think it is. Amen. But I tell you what, I'm glad to be foolish for the Lord. Amen. Glad to be what the Bible calls a peculiar people. Amen. Glad I'm one of His chosen. Glad I'm one of His own. Glad He knows every little hair, what little I got left on my head. He knows them by name. He knows them by number. Amen. And He knows my name. Amen. I believe with all my heart. Amen. That, amen. When I accepted the Lord as Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my name was written on the roll call in heaven. Amen. And when the roll is called up yonder, sis, I will be there. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. Looking forward to what Jesus has gone to prepare. Amen. A lot of times we talk about the crucifixion. We just had Easter. Talk about the crucifixion. Talk about the resurrection. Amen. We forget about the part where Jesus is still over there preparing a place for me and you. Amen. And I one of these days, I long to see that place. Amen. With my own two eyes. Amen. I want to see the place that He's prepared for me. Right. I want to see, amen, the master carpenter that built that place. Amen. I want to see Him. Amen. And wrap my arms around Him. Amen. And thank Him for all He's done for me. Amen. Right. Right. Amen. And I'm glad today that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Some of you brought it with you. I can feel it. Amen. I'm glad. I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate people that will mind the Lord. Amen. Was in the church this morning. Amen. And they mind the Lord. They love the Lord. You can tell they love the Lord. Amen. Makes it easier to preach. Amen. When you can mind the Lord and you can worship the Lord this morning. It's even in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
And I saw this little pamphlet up here that really... You know, the Lord confirms things. And it says, the least of these. And I know what we really usually attribute that. It says here, they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when did I see Thee hunger, the thirst, a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to one of the least of these, you did not unto me. Amen. And we usually think of it that way, but when I saw this, it kind of confirmed the message, amen, that is on my heart tonight, amen. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start the reading of our Word, and the Word of the Lord here, and round down about verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Like I said, that song says He didn't care if I was the world's most foolish man. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible that comes to mind that talks about being ignorant and evil. Amen. But being wise and doing good things. Amen. And I'd rather be foolish and ignorant concerning the world and foolish for God than the wisest man in the world today have so many doctorate degrees behind my name. Amen. That didn't mean a hill of beans. Amen. In this world. Amen. Because all the knowledge that I have, all the money that I may or may not have, all the possessions I have in this world, amen, I can't take it with me when I go. The only thing I can take with me is, amen, what I've laid up in store. Amen. Over on the other side, amen, the Bible says, amen, to lay your treasure in heaven, amen, where moth, no rust doth corrupt and it does not canker. Amen. We don't have to worry about thieves breaking in and stealing over there. Amen. That's where my treasure's at. Amen. If my treasure's on earth, and my heart's going to be attached to this earth. Amen. If my treasure's over yonder, amen, in glory, amen, then I long to go there. Amen.
That's right.
I long, my heart longs to be where the Lord is. Amen. Because that's where my treasure is. Amen. Like I said, we'll talk about some foolish people in the Bible. Foolish maybe to the world, but into God's eyes, that's the kind of people He wants. Amen. That's the kind of people He uses. He chooses the foolish things. I'm glad I don't have to be the smartest person in the world. Amen. God loves me no matter how smart I am. And I can get too smart, amen, for God to use me. Amen. I can get too high-minded, too heady-minded. God wants us to be humble, amen. Wants us to be humble and not prideful and lifted up in ourselves. We know that pride is what destroyed the devil. He thought he'd be like God. Amen. He was kicked out of heaven, amen, because he thought he could be, amen, bigger than God was. But he says here that he chose the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. I begin to look at this, the least of these. You know, sometimes you feel like the least of anybody. Sometimes little church, country churches like this, we look and compare to the churches out there way out in Texas and all the other places that are mega churches, they call them. And sometimes we get to compare ourselves with things like that, and we feel like we're just out here in the boonies and we just ain't nothing, no good to nobody. We feel like the least of these. Well, let me tell you, folks, this is the kind of place that God can use. Amen. The least of these things is what God can use. Amen. As I begin to study the Scripture, I begin to think about some least people in the Bible, some foolish people, you might call them. And my attention was drawn over to Amos. So in Amos chapter 7, amen, verse 14, I'll take up a reading there. If you want to follow along, it says in verse 14 of Amos chapter 7, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herd man and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord, the Lord took me. Out of all the people God could have chose, the Lord took me, an old herdsman, amen, out there in the field gathering sycamore fruit. But the Lord took me as I followed the flock." Amen. You know, God wants you to be a follower. God is the leader. There's an old game called follow the leader. Amen. Amen. God wants us not to be the leader of God. He wants us to follow right along with Him. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. The sheep do not lead the shepherd. The sheep can't even lead themselves. Amen. They get scattered all over the place, don't know where to go. Amen. It's got to be the shepherd that does the leading, amen. And he says, "The Lord took me, amen, as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people." Amen. It said he was an herdsman. Amen. Out there a gatherer of sycamore fruit, he followed the flock. Amen. God took him. Somebody was not a big statue. Somebody was basically nobody in today's society. Amen. And he took him and he called him to go prophesy unto his people. God chose the weak things, amen, to confound the strong. And he did so when he chose Amos. He began to talk to that Amaziah, amen, the priest. Amen. He began to tell him, "You know, I'm not much of anything. I'm just an old herdsman, just somebody out there in the fields working with my hands. Amen. But God wanted me. Amen. He chose me. Amen. To proclaim His word out there to the world and out there to His people. Amen. And He took me. And He chose me to do that." Amen. Next time you feel like you're one of the least in the world, remember, amen, you're one of the greatest. Amen. If you choose to follow the Lord, if you choose to obey God, amen, God looks upon that more than He does your strength, more than He does your wisdom. God gave Solomon many riches and many wisdom, much wisdom, wiser than any king, amen, ever lived, richer than any king seemed like ever lived. Why? Because his heart at first was humble. He said, "Lord, I'm but a child. I'm not able to lead these people." And God said, "Because you've neither asked for riches, you haven't asked for wisdom, I'll give you more wisdom than's ever been known upon this earth." Amen. Because he was a foolish thing in the eyes of the world. He was the least of these. Another man that came to my mind was but a child by the name of Gideon. Amen. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11, they were under the captivity, under the oppression of the Midianites.
Amen. Who came in and basically just trampled Israelite all over the place. You can read more about it in Judges, the first few chapters, but it says in chapter 6, verse 11 of Judges, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Oprah. And that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He was in bondage in these days. They had to thresh wheat in order to hide it from the Midianites so that the Midianites wouldn't come in and steal all they had. They'd probably starve to death by that time. He had to do the best he could to provide for his family. A little weakling amongst all the Midianites. Let me tell you something. God used Gideon, amen, in a mighty way. Amen. Even the Lord, here the angel said, amen, to him, he said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know, the Lord sees something in all of us that we never see in ourselves for most of the time. Amen. I'm my worst enemy. I'm my own worst critic. I'm my own worst person to down somebody else, look down my nose at my own self. Amen. I said nobody's fault but my own. Hey, but amen, the Lord sees something in each and every one of us. Amen. If we could get a hold of the way God sees us and not the way the world sees us, amen, we could be mighty men and women of valor for God. The angel, God Himself, told Gideon, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And it wasn't because of who he was, it was because of who God was. If God wasn't with him, he would not be a mighty man of valor. Amen. When God is with you, you can accomplish great things, for with men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God can do the impossible. Amen. When you got all kind of manner of illnesses, all manner of disease, all manner of depression. Amen. If you need healing, amen. If you need some comfort, amen. Whatever your need is, God is I am. He said, I am that I am. Whatever you need, God is that for you. Amen. We just trust Him and obey Him. There's a song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We have to recognize that God sees something in us. Us lowly people, with the least of everybody in this world, seems like. We feel like foolish people. Amen. We feel like we're just set apart from the world. Well, that's what we're called to be. Amen. Because God can use somebody like that. If we're too wrapped up in the world, God can use the world to reach the world. Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches today. They got so much world in them, they ain't no use to God anymore. They need to get the world out. Amen. Or let God back in the doorhouse. Amen. He can use places for His glory in a mighty way, Brother Chris.
Amen.
Gideon, amen, we know the story. He went on. When asked God, he asked God about delivering the people from the Midianites, and he set fleeces before God, and God answered him every single time. Come to find out, he gathered him an army there. I can't remember the exact numbers. I'm not good with numbers. Amen. But he gathered him a great army there, something like 3,000 people or so. They was going to go fight the Midianites. And God said, hold on, Gideon. You got too many men. Begin to tell them how to weed them out. How to find the right ones. Before it was all over with, all he was left with was about 300 men. To go fight thousands upon thousands of Midianites. And God was able to triumph through Gideon. Amen. Because he saw something greater in him than Gideon saw in himself. We got to trust that God knows what he's doing when he tells us what to do. Amen. A lot of times we say, well, Lord, is that really you? Amen. Lord, this just sounds kind of funny. Should I do this or should I not? A lot of times we don't recognize God wants us to do things that just don't make sense sometimes. He's a peculiar God. We're His peculiar people. Amen. And if it goes along with according to the Word of God, amen, and it glorifies God, it raises Him up, amen, instead of raising and lifting ourselves up, amen, the Bible says to try the spirits, whether they are God or not, amen, because not every spirit is of God. When we've tried God, and if it is God, He'll show out.
Mm-hmm.
It will be Him. There will be no mistake.
Yeah.
Amen. And that will help encourage our faith because we'll see something, amen, that we hadn't seen before. And that's how we walk by faith and not by sight. With faith, it's the reverse. But if we see something first, yeah, we believe in it. That ain't no problem.
But faith asks us to do the reverse. You'll see it if you believe it first. God expects something from us. He expects us to step out on faith. Amen. He expected when Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." Peter stepped down in the water and he saw the Lord because of his faith. And then when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And that's what caused him to put his eyes back on the Lord and say, "Lord, save me." I believe he yelled to the top of his lungs. Began to sink. He knew what was in the waters. He knew how dangerous it was. He's a fisherman. He saw that stuff all the time. He probably began to think in his mind, "I am an idiot. I'm crazy for being out here on this water. What possessed me to think about doing this?" Well, God called him to come to him. It didn't make sense to him at the time. And so he got carnal in his mind and began to sink. That's the problem with us today a lot of times. We get carnal. Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded will take us to the grave. Amen. A fearful, worrisome people. It's when we get on the Spirit, in the mind of the Spirit, that we can humbly and boldly say that the Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. We know the story of Gideon. We know the story, amen, of Amos that we just talked about. Now there's another man that comes to my mind that we all know about. His name was David. Amen. He was a weak, Bible calls him ruddy. Amen. Vessel. Amen. When Samuel came out in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he began to come out that God needed another king because Saul just totally was not fitting the bill. He was disobedient. He was prideful. He was arrogant. He was not somebody God could use. He was the opposite of what God could use. And so to confound this wise, so-called Saul, to confound the strong, God chose the foolish, weak little boy. Once again, it wasn't somebody of great stature. It was a shepherd boy. Amos was a herdsman. Another one comes to mind is Moses. He was out there leading the flock of his father-in-law in the backside of the desert when God got his attention with a burning bush. But here was David. He was out there tending to his father's sheep. Samuel needed to anoint a king. He needed to anoint him fast. God was on the move. He went to the man named Jesse and told Jesse, "Line them up. Get all your sons out here and I'm going to go one by one and I'm going to anoint me the king for God." He began to go out there and each one he said within himself, "Surely this is going to be the next king." He was a man that was big in stature, had broad shoulders, amen, probably sitting there doing some Mr. Universe poses for Samuel. No doubt every one of them boys wanted to be king. You know, it's funny, it kind of reminds me of jury duty. They say if you ever want to get on jury duty, you'll never get on. Because they don't want somebody that wants to be on there. And these boys wanted so bad to be king. Think about it. How they could provide for their family. How they could have that stature and be prideful. God wasn't looking on the outside. He was looking on their heart. He saw inside their heart. And after Samuel was done, I believe it was six sons he had standing in line. Samuel just didn't make sense. God didn't move on any of them to be king. He said, "Now I know God sent me here to anoint a king." He began to think about it. He said, "Jesse, is this all of your sons?" Man, thank God for the one lamb out there in the pasture that God has not forgotten about. Amen. "Is this all of your sons?" "No, there's one more. He's kind of ruddy. He's a little feller and I don't know about him, but bring him out here." So he got a hold of David. Man, before he could even pour the oil, God said, "That's the man." He's got a heart, amen, that I'm looking for. He's got a heart of clay, and I'm the potter, and I can take that clay and mold it into what I can use it for.
God will use people that are willing to be molded by Him and aren't so full of themselves that they become stoned over and have a stony heart. He said, He's got a heart after me. I can use Him. Anoint Him to be the next king. God used the most foolish thing, the weakest thing, not only to be king, but to slay the most formidable foe that Israel ever fought up until that point. And that man's name was Goliath. David, the least of them all, couldn't even wear the armor. He was so small, the armor didn't fit him. All he needed was God.
Right.
Didn't even really need the five smooth stones. He got one of them and accomplished it with one. But he said, You come with me and with a sword and spear, and I come with you in the name of the Lord. And he struck that giant down with one blow to the head. And just like that, David's fate was sealed as king. From that day forward, Saul chased him and pursued him. But his strength was in the Lord. David's strength was in the Lord, and he trusted in the Lord. Amen. We've talked about several people here today that were foolish by the world's standards. Amen. And I must say it again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen to this. Which in time past were not a people. You know, Gentiles were a people. Israel was a people. Egyptians were a people. Amalekites were a people. Edomites were a people. The Gentiles were never a people. They were a category to consider the whole nation that was not Israel. But he said, You in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter says, because Christ came and He made the Gentiles a peculiar people. Why are they peculiar? Because there's never been another thing like this happen. Never had a nation that wasn't even a nation. The Gentile people wasn't even a people. It was just a name given to people that were not of the tribe of Israel. That's why they're peculiar. And that's why we should rejoice today, because God chose a people that wasn't even a people. A weak thing, and made it strong. Now, those that have accepted Christ are called the body of Christ, the most important people on this planet, the church of Jesus Christ today. I've got one more place to go, and I feel like it's worked through my heart. The Lord told Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, as they begin to go out of the wilderness, as they begin to further on their journey, Moses would eventually have to leave them and have to die, having seen the promised land with his eyes from afar off and not entered into it. Joshua would have to step up and take his place. And Moses didn't have much time left. But he began to remind Israel. We have the church and we also have Israel. Believe me, folks, according to the Bible, Israel has not been forgotten about. Israel is one of the key things in prophecy, especially nowadays. Israel is not forgotten about. Israel is who the promise was given to in the first place. He will not break His promise with Israel. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's start with verse 6 here. He says, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That word special is the same word around about as peculiar. Israel is special to God. The church is special to God. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. God chose the fewest to confound the many, if you want to put it that way. But because the Lord loved you, He didn't choose you because you were the more in number than any people, but because the Lord loved you. He chose you because He loved you, because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And just like back then in Egypt, God brought us out. If we're saved, amen, God brought us out of sin with a mighty hand. Sin had its clutches on me and you. Amen. And there was no way to break that tie. Amen. Unless Jesus Christ had come and gave His life as the only begotten Son of God, as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He brought us out through His resurrection, which we just celebrated a couple weeks ago. Amen. With a mighty, mighty hand. Amen. If we're ready and packed up, ready to go, and if we're ready in our heart, make things right with the Lord, amen, we'll get to see the promised land one day after a while with our own two eyes.
That's right.
And it's a city which is builder and maker is God.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing here on this earth right now. Amen. It's something to come. But I encourage you, church, next time you get the feeling to be one of the least in this world, remember that God chose you, not because you're the strongest, not because you're the smartest, but because He loved you. Because He paid a great, great price on Calvary one day. And He's going to honor the covenant that was made between you and Christ. Amen. And next time you feel the fewest and the least, remember that you are the greatest because God has chosen you to be that. We need to start acting like that, Brother Chris. We need to start remembering that we are children of the Most High God. And we need to start forgetting about what ISIS is doing and what all these other terrorist organizations are doing. Their God is not a living God. I was just reading the Bible just a few minutes ago. My eyes happened upon a place in the Bible. And I can't remember where it was now, but it's talking about Dagon. I think it was in Samuel, actually. When the Philistines tried to take the Ark of the Covenant and set it in the house of their God, Dagon. Amen. It wasn't too long after that Dagon was found, his hands and his feet was cut off. Amen. He was just lying there and the floor was just a stone statue. Amen. But God wanted to prove a point that He was Almighty God and not any other false gods.
Mm-hmm.
They said all that was left of this God Dagon was just a stump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. God is God. He's still in control.
Amen.
And we still need to realize that He is in control.
Right.
Amen. And remember that He loves us as a people. I'm going to ask everybody if they'd stand. I'll ask the sister over here that was playing early. She'd tell the piano and play softly. Amen. Maybe you got something on your heart. Amen. Maybe you've been struggling with some issues and maybe related to this message. I don't know. Amen. But I feel like giving an invitation tonight. Amen. If you've got something that you need to talk to the Lord about, amen. And right here is the time. Now is the important time. Now is the accepted time. Oh, today is the day of salvation. There ain't no better time to get legs fixed up with the Lord and talk to the Lord than when He is calling you. And if you feel that tug tonight, you just make your way down to this altar. Amen. And you have a little talk with Jesus because that'll make it all right.